B&E.
Do I use the bathroom up here on the fourth floor, or do I get down the first floor? I get into the elevator, and I'm already gurgling, and I'm thinking, of course I'm going to go all the way down. What does it do? It stops at 3, and a lady gets on.
Oh.
And my stomach is so loud, it's like, help me. She looked over at me. She just looked at me, and I couldn't do anything about it. You know when you have the
right,
bubblers?
Man?
You know when you have the bubble gut, and it's just making sounds, and it's like an exorcism inside of you.
All right, B&E, final hour. Very interesting conversations this morning. And then some of them not so much. Disc golf challenges have been an issue this morning.
Yeah, they're out there early.
They're out there. The disc golfers want to see if they can outdrive you with their disc and your...
iron.
Five iron?
Yeah, a little five iron. I can do that. We're going to get five of you. We'll get this all set up to go.
Okay.
Right back behind us right there, right? We're going to go down to the
Lost
to the
Creek.
Lost Creek Country Club.
Our buddy Craig.
Yeah,
Loving
man.
From Lost Creek. Texted
while got a driving range right there.
You guys want these jabronis to start texting in or something? Getting some names down?
Get some names.
Should we wait for a couple days or something?
No, we'll get it done. We'll get it over with next week.
Maybe,
just going down there.
Matt Southall, who shows follows ours.
Yeah, bring it.
Rile up a bunch of his guys, his long drivers with the discs.
His stick figures to throw the ball, throw the discs down there. He's got a dog, too, doesn't he? Doesn't he got a little dog, little pooch? I let him bring his little pooch on a rope down there.
Got to have a dog on the rope when you're out playing disc golf.
He will bring the six packs of Bud Lights for everybody, so they feel good. Got to bring your own smoke, though.
That's on you.
That's on you. That's on you. Oh, my goodness.
Jeez Louise.
Oh, E, by the way, this is tomorrow we'll be getting ready for the sign-up for the 17th annual Mullet Open.
Nice.
To be held, of course, at Lost Pines out there for the benefit of the Burke Center for Youth and, of course, the Refuge Ranch for the young ladies. And the Refuge Ranch is new for us to be sponsoring with and trying to help out these young ladies. Jonathan Banks, I talked to Jonathan last night. He is coming. The one and only Jonathan Banks, friend of the show, Mike from Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul Year 3, will be here on Wednesday of the event. And he can't wait to participate and be a part of it. So we'll get him to some dinners and get him out to the people around here. But you can go to mulletopen.com and sign up. And this thing will end in a hurry, believe me. Within 2 weeks, that thing will be fully signed up and it'll be over with. So if you're looking and you want to stay overnight on Friday and Saturday out there, how about rooms for only $220? Out at Lost Pines in the middle of the summer. So
nice.
You want that and just go out and hang out, please go to mulletopen.com and sign up your foursomes and be a part of it. It's a great time, a lot of great prizes.
Always a fun time. And the Hyatt Lost Pines Resort, not a better place to spend a couple days during the summer playing golf and swimming in the Lazy River.
And you can't pencil whip that place.
No. It's all you.
It's digital. Everything. It's everything you want.
Hey, let's go ahead and get your headlines. Get yourself signed up for the Mullet Open. Get your headlines, get you caught up, and then we'll pick up the conversations. Look like that guy's calling in that want to challenge you for the disc golf calendar. We love it. Let's go to the news. Ticket City Update Desk we go, and the breaking news early this morning, 3:05 this morning, is when Massachusetts Department of Corrections officials say that former New England Patriots star tight end Aaron Hernandez committed suicide. According to a statement they released, that he was discovered hanging in his cell at the Baranowski Correctional Center at just after 3 this morning. News comes 5 days after Hernandez was acquitted of murdering two men in Boston in 2012. However, is still serving a life sentence without parole for the murder of Odin Lloyd in 2013. But later this morning comes word that his attorney, Jose Baez, who just helped him get off on that an acquittal, does not believe that this was suicide and has launched an investigation on behalf of the Hernandez family. They believe that this was a murder by either other inmates or the folks who run the prison. That, according to his attorney, we'll keep you posted. In baseball, Texas topped Texas State for the second consecutive Tuesday last night. They went out and beat them 2-0. Five Longhorn pitchers combined on a 6-hit shutout. Longhorns back to UFC Dishwalk Field on Friday night. They'll open a 3-game set, non-conference set with New Orleans. In the MLB, Major League Baseball, how about the Houston Astros? There's death, taxes, and Albert Pujols for the Astros. The all-time nemesis did it again last night. Tie-breaking, 3-run homer in the 5th inning to lead the Angels to a 5-2 win over Houston. Pujols, when he stepped to the plate in a 2-2 game, was batting under 200 but blasted his 54th all-time home run against the Astros off of Joe Musgrove. That's number 593 on his Hall of Fame career. Astros had a five-game win streak, snapped the Angels, halted a six-game losing skid. Rangers lost out in West last night in Oakland, beating 4-2. The A's right-hander Andrew Triggs outdueled Yu Darvish in that victory. Round Rock opened their eight-game homestand last night, going extra innings. Free baseball, 5-4. They beat Omaha. It was shortstop Doug Bernier racing home on a wild pitch in the home half of the 11th inning to get the win for the E-Train. Same two again today. 11:35 first pitch at Dell Diamond, a game you'll hear over on AM 1260. And the NBA playoffs, very intriguing first round in the East. How about the number one seed in the Eastern Conference? Boston now down 2-0 to the Bulls. Chicago stunned them again last night, 111-97. Jimmy Butler, 22. Rajon Rondo finished one rebound shy of a triple-double in that game. Toronto beat Milwaukee last night as well, 106-100. It was the Clippers holding off Utah. Tonight, three more games, including the Rockets and Thunder, playing game two of their first round series down in Houston. Houston up 1-0. And that's the news.
You know, for Rajon Rondo last night, the big guys weren't letting him get all the rebounds so that he could get his triple-double. They weren't doing that.
He had nine of them.
Yeah, he was actually going in there and getting them himself.
You know, Boston just doesn't look like a playoff team.
They got no score.
They're the number one, I shouldn't say playoff team. They don't look like a number one seed is what you should say. I mean, they have one guy that can really score. Their workman like Brad Stevens does a great job coaching, but it does look like the better roster belongs to Chicago, which is why I give Brad Stevens a lot of credit that he coached that roster to the number one seed in a
right.
great regular season. But the playoffs are a different animal, and it's about stops and big shots and big buckets and who can get them. And so far through two games, that's been the Bulls every single time.
They don't have anybody that can score in Boston right now. If the little guy's not scoring, they're not going to get it done. And plus, they don't rebound that great anyway. That's been their whole thing throughout the season. And now they'll go, and there's no telling, you know, the emotions of this young man when he comes back from his sister's funeral, what he's going to be like on the road. And he's been their main guy. I mean, like I said, Al Horford's supposed to be the guy in the middle, but Al Horford is a big guy that wants to dribble.
Remember, Boston made the big run last summer at Kevin Durant. They got Tom Brady involved. I mean, they were trying to... They were hoping Durant would come east and be that secondary, the lead star to Isaiah Thomas. Obviously, he chose Golden State. They also had a chance to make trades at the trade deadline. Didn't do it. Paul George and even Jimmy Butler was a guy that was discussed on his way to Boston at times before the deadline of February. So they didn't do it, and they just don't look like they have the roster to win big playoff games. Now, it's two games in, but now Chicago's got to beat Chicago 4 out of 5 times.
Well, they got all the momentum, and then of course they understand this kid's going to come back from his sister's funeral. And if he's not himself, the Bulls got a lot of veterans. Here comes the dagger now.
Mm-hmm. Well, then a chance, and Dwayne Wade knows exactly what that's about.
Right.
You know, don't let him get back into the series and feel like they can.
At all. Get rid of him in game three, and then, you know.
And Rondo's got a little chip on the shoulder, having, had his best days in Boston. He understands this playoff thing. So we'll see. And Jimmy Butler is just a star player. All right, so on this Aaron Hernandez thing, and now the breaking news late that his attorney is filing, saying we're launching an investigation. You know what I originally thought of, when I read that? Remember during the trial that he was just acquitted of, the double murder, the drive-by shooting in Boston in 2012? Remember after that, those two men were killed in the car. He then, subsequent to that, shot his friend down in Florida. Remember the guy that his name was?
Guy who told him he was going to get him.
What was that guy's name? Alexander Bradley. They were friends, and they were out at a nightclub, and they were drinking, and Bradley said he said something to Hernandez about doing that stupid stuff in Boston, talking about and this was under oath in the trial that he was acquitted of killing these two guys, but he couldn't get, innocent until proven guilty. He was found not guilty of that, but this guy said he did it because he was with him, and then he said Aaron Hernandez thought he was going to, rat him out. So after a night of drinking at the club, he fell asleep in the car, and they ended up out in a warehouse area, and he shot him in the face. Put the gun to his face
shot
and
him
shot him in the eye. And somehow he didn't die. This Alexander Bradley. And on the witness stand, he said, I will get my vengeance.
Oh, yeah, he did. He said, I don't want anything to happen. He wanted him out because he was going to kill him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he just said it on the witness stand. I mean,
sure Alexander Bradley's not the only enemy that Aaron Hernandez has made.
The guy's a gangster. He's in prison. How many enemies do you think that guy has made over the last whatever?
And Alexander Bradley said, I will have my vengeance. Now Aaron Hernandez is dead, hanging from his bed sheet, and his attorney is saying there's no way. And a reporter in Boston has tweets out this morning saying he talked to someone this morning who talked to Aaron Hernandez last night, who said this was not a guy in a state of mind to kill himself.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, why would this guy who just got acquitted of two murders, why would he go through all that if he was going to commit suicide? Why would he even want to go through all that if he was going to then just say, okay, I'm gonna off myself? I mean, why would you go through all that? You don't have to.
Well, but the trial was brought by the district attorney filing charges against him. So, I mean, his lawyer defended him in that case and won, got him acquitted. But it wasn't like he filed, it wasn't a civil suit of any kind. The DA was trying to pin the two murders on him. And thought they had the evidence slam dunk to convict him of both.
So that gangster doesn't seem like the kind of guy that wants to off himself. He just wants to kind of continue to try to make it, always believing that he's going to get out, you know?
Well, he is no longer, and his family and the lawyer say that this can't be, which is, you know, when someone in your family commits suicide, oftentimes that is your immediate reaction, is there's no way, this wasn't in his mind. But the correctional officials say he was hanging from a bed sheet that was tied to a window. He had tried to use other objects in his cell to block the door.
Yeah, so they couldn't get in.
But again, that's what they say, right? I mean, is there ever going to be evidence? We'll see. That's as it stands right now. The correctional folks are calling it a suicide.
Someone says, "Hey, Bucky. By the way, this is Josh. I work at a clinical research department, so I don't have a real job. How far does that five iron go?"
How long does he hit the five irons?
Now, you guys know I'm just talking and jest about you guys not having real jobs. And the majority of you do get up at noon, but there are a lot of guys with real jobs.
What are you looking at that five iron? 180?
Oh, no. Less than 180.
Really?
Well, yeah. I'm probably going to hit that thing close to 170. And then most of it's going to be rolling. It's not going to be in the air that far. So this is a rolling. So now I'm giving him a fair shake. I can't take my driver out there and pound it over the road, right?
Hit the weight room, man.
What are you talking about, Lefty?
I can't hit a golf ball at all, man. I don't know.
I'll go 225 on that five.
Well, I know you will. I've seen you hit them before. I mean, yeah, you can take a four iron and turn it into a driver and a half. But I can't do that. I'm old.
Oh, look, they're all weighing in. Yes, the Buda cyclist. I lived off Dewberry and Buda. That guy is always there in no lane. We'll go on 1626. Yeah. That's right. There's a guy he got the three-wheeler. It's like one of these lay-down bicycles. He pedals it, but he's like sitting in a chair.
Oh, with his hands? He does the hands
no,
thing?
No, he's using his feet, but he kind of lays and pedals, and it's got a flag that sticks up. You can always see him. And he does it a lot, you know. I'm glad he's staying in good shape, but he needs to get out of the way.
He does. Yeah, no kidding.
Dude's on the road when he's doing this?
Yes.
Sometimes.
No love tap from any of the drivers?
No, you can't get near him. You can't be within,
oh my gosh,
I think it's 3 yards.
I'm starting driving on their bike lanes if they start biking in my driving lanes.
Well according to our system here, you have to stay, I think, 3 feet. That's like 1 yard away from them when you pass them. And so if they're on the two-lane deals in the country, you got to go all the way into the other lane, because if you just get there and they report you, that's a problem for you, my friend.
Did you see the tragic story of the young junior at Texas who was killed? She was riding her moped and was hit by a school bus. But the school,
I did not see that.
Yeah, it just happened the other night, right over there by the old Miller development. Just riding her moped. And now the school bus was not a school bus. It was someone's private vehicle.
Oh.
So they were using it's like one of those short buses. Not a full school bus, but a smaller one.
Yep.
And rear-ended her. They're investigating, but young lady killed. So be careful with the people out there.
I mean, for everybody to be careful. I mean, the cyclists here, I mean, they want their spots, and the people that are driving in their cars want their spots, and nobody wants to give in to this thing. It's been like this forever here since I've gotten here, so.
There you go.
But there's room for everybody at the Veloway or the Velodrome for the bikers.
Says those things are dangerous. A man in Manchac got killed a couple years ago driving that thing, the bike. Think about laying down. And the back thing, first vehicles go to his head. See, that's terrible.
And there's dudes in West Campus.
I live in Buda. That dude's always in the damn way. Oh, man.
There's dudes in West Campus who would text and bike. Y'all ever seen that before?
Never.
Dude's texting and biking. He was swerving in the middle of the road. I honked at him. He flipped me off. I got out of my car and told him to bleep off and stop texting.
Well, I mean, it's just tough. It's tough when you're going out.
He's
going
to get himself killed if he's like,
we're still in Texas.
Texting.
We have a lot of roads out, you know, out away from the city. And I mean, like, as I said, you get out on that Fitzhugh Road, there are bikers, and you come around corners and you can't go 2 mile an hour for them. So it takes you an hour to get somewhere, and they are taking up the whole space, and you hit these corners and bang, there they are. They're right there. And it's a terrible road. I mean, for your safety, why do you want to be in a road like that? I mean, that's not, it's, I don't know why my bikers
want
to be on those
roads. Some variety, but the guy in the sit-down bike, I mean, there's plenty of neighborhoods he could ride around in and never get onto a main road and could get plenty of exercise, could ride for days and days. Heck, our neighborhood, you could do, you know, the big loops and you never leave the gates.
Yeah, Dr. Eckert is a big biker.
And Dr. Eckert is a great biker.
Yeah, and he says, I'm not one of those people. I don't get out on those spots where...
I go on the roads you don't go on.
Yes.
Shortcuts everywhere, which, you know, you would hope they all do, but it's their road too, really, by law. Share the road.
Wait a minute. So we're now, do they tax those bicycles?
We tax
them. My car gets taxed.
You do not have to get a biking license, I don't believe.
Hmm.
That's where the tax would come, right?
Yeah.
Registration. You can get tickets, though. You can get tickets for, you know, violations.
Hey, let's just make everybody happy. Let's just all get along.
Can't we all just get along?
Can we all get along?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Can't we get rid of Albert Pujols yet? Good night. Watching this Astros game last night.
They're going to give him a full-fledged uni.
The Astros are going to have to sign him to like a...
one-day contract?
Like bring him in. This is for his last...
That is great.
I mean, he has to play at some point for the Astros because he's owned them. Yeah, maybe that'll be the case. Jim Crane will make him a part owner when he's done. Artie Moreno out in L.A. almost has made him a part owner with the contract he signed him to. He's still paying. But, yeah, Pujols hit his 593rd home run of his career. But it's the 54th that he's hit against the Astros. 54 of the 593 against Houston. Stupid, dating back to his days.
Wow.
In St. Louis, most of them, when the Astros were in the National League. Okay, so there you go. We've got a lot going on. Bikers.
You know, we were talking about, you know, when we started talking about UT and Kirk Bowles and eight players, I can see four players that are going to be in either the first team or second team, Big 12. The kicker for sure, who is fantastic.
Yeah, that was Kirk Bowles with his
yeah, and that was his
thought this morning. That
eight guys, they went. If eight of them are there, they're going to win nine games. For me, that's how I believe that. If eight of them are there. But I think, obviously, the kicker is going to be in there. Obviously,
punter.
The punter is going to be there, of course. The offensive lineman, obviously, is going to be there. That's two. Malik Jefferson is going to make it. And then I think there's going to be one surprise in that secondary. There's going to be somebody that surprises us is going to make the first or second team, all Big 12. That's going to be four. I really don't see more than four guys. Eight guys a lot.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, eight would be... Look, we thought going into last year, Texas, especially on defense, was going to have guys who had been all freshmen and looking like they
yes.
were going to step forward and be all conference performers, and they just quite honestly did not. Was that Vance Bedford? Was that the coaching? Remember the new secondary coach? And it seemed like a lot of players on that defense regressed from what they had flashed as freshmen. Those are the things that have to change. Those guys have to step forward. And yes, if you know, Malik Jefferson hasn't played like it, but on paper, he's an all conference player.
Oh, he's going to make one or two.
And of the eight Kirk mentioned, Malik Jefferson wasn't one of them. You know, so can Todd Orlando get the most out of Malik Jefferson? You know, can a guy like Brecken Hager take a next step forward along with Malcolm Roach? So you've got three or four different guys making, you know, impact plays on defense. P.J. Locke is a guy that's going to start at safety this year who, you know, Tom Rimmer can't say enough about the guy. His leadership, and he's going to be a guy in the back end. You know, Brandon Jones, the sophomore kid out of Nacogdoches, who was a five-star recruit out of high school.
Everybody in the country wanted.
Oh, man, he's a walk-in, you know, Earl Thomas starter kit. Can you get the most out of a guy like that? And that secondary becomes a ball-hawking secondary instead of
Don't you believe there's one kid in that secondary who's going to come out and be in one or two Big 12 team, maybe the second team, but somebody as talented as those guys were, somebody's got to come out of
it. Deshaun Elliott. I mean, the corners, Holden Hill, Chris Boyd. I mean, all these guys have that type of ability, at least – we've seen them flash that type of ability. They just haven't been consistent with it. And that's why I'm saying, can the secondary, you know, can go from an inconsistent pass rushing team that sometimes flashes to being consistently wreaking havoc like Todd Orlando's defenses at Houston? Can it go from a leaky, blown coverage secondary to a ball-hawking secondary that's making plays?
And making interceptions, yeah, big plays. That'll show me something. And if Kirk is right and they got eight guys, then I can tell you they're winning.
Well, that's the thing. If you
eight games or nine games, you tell me they're winning. If they got eight, they're winning nine games.
Well, Kirk Bowles, you know, of that didn't include Malik Jefferson. There's no Deshaun Elliott. There's no either of the corners, which is fair because they've got to show that. But that would mean that's the level they all need to play to. And Texas,
interesting, you didn't have Malik though. It didn't. I mean, didn't one group have Malik as one of the top draft choices?
Yeah, the way Walter Football had him as a top pick next year, a first round pick as a linebacker. But he's got a
BK. What do you think about those?
That's a lot. I don't know if I can do 8 to 10. I think people will look at 5 and 7. I think there's two locks for the first team, which will be Connor Williams and Aussie Mike, the punter, Michael Dixon. Then after that, I'm not too sure. I mean, you look at guys like Malcolm Roach, he could be on the list. Puna Ford could be there. That's more of a name than a talent from what we've seen in 3 years, in my opinion. That's mm-hmm. a name we've heard the last 2 years, and the production hasn't quite matched up what we hear he could be and what his motor is. Maybe a guy like Jason Hall could crack in there. I know he's frustrated a lot of Texas fans. But
I
got to
think Brecken Hager, the way he played last year.
But there's a lot of, I mean, it's Big 12's not known for defense, but there's a lot of good individual defensive players in this league.
You're right.
I mean, OU's got a lot. TCU's known for it. K-State's going to have the second most. They deserve to have the second most all-conference preseason players this year. I'd be shocked if Texas has more than 5 or 6 on the first two teams.
Are you talking about preseason or at the end of the season?
Preseason.
Yeah, I think end of the season would be mine. Preseason is fine. But they have that type of talent. I mean, I watch a guy like Jake McMillan play the interior line. I mean, that guy can be an all Big 12 player. He is a road. That guy was awesome last year when he took over for Pat Vahe. Liked what I saw from him in the spring game when he slid into center.
Yeah, this coaching staff will not have had players like this.
No.
As the head coach, I mean, some of the individual coaches may have gone to other places, but as for Tom Herman, he never coached players like this at Houston. These are the best players he's ever had.
We'll come back. B&E on the horn. Your thoughts there. A lot there. You got the Aaron Hernandez discussion. Bikers and cyclists are out there. And yes, Texas still talking spring football and looking forward to the summer. Football season can't get here fast enough. It's B&E on the horn. 104.9 AM 1260. Streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Mornings with Bucky and Aaron.
B&A on a Wednesday, partly cloudy today, high 84, had some early sprinkles, but no rain in the forecast today, even into tomorrow. It's going to be beautiful this weekend, Buck. Supposed to cool off, a little cool front going to roll through, be in the 70s. Nice, a little less humidity, which we'll take for sure. So we'll be excited about that. A lot going on, talking about the Aaron Hernandez story that's broken this morning and now developing because his family and lawyer saying not a suicide. Had to be foul play because he was not in that state of mind. People had talked to him recently, as last night, said that this is not the mindset of someone who's about to take their own life.
Yeah, sounds like he was talking about getting a chance to see his daughter.
Yeah, and as we the guy on the stand that said he shot me in the eye and I'm going to get my vengeance. He's got friends in jail. He's in jail himself.
Well, yeah, yes.
So, you run with the hoods. Sometimes
you die by the hoods,
die
too.
By the hoods,
well,
yes.
That guy, I mean, that guy was serious. When you get on a witness stand and you point blank in front of everybody, says, I'm getting my revenge.
I don't want him to go to jail. I want him to be dead.
Yes.
Yeah. So we'll follow that story as it goes. That one more of a news story than a sports story at this point.
Malik Jefferson did make he was on the second team Big 12 last year, right? At the end of the season?
Well, this says Malik Jefferson was second team All Big 12 at the end of the year last year. So by the end of the season, he was playing to that level. I if you go back when Malik got benched and didn't play in the second half of the K-State game,
that still is hard for me to believe.
Yeah,
you couldn't coach that kid up. You couldn't coach him up because it doesn't get any better than that guy.
Yeah, and I think that was a symptom of the whole program. They were just undercoached and underdeveloped and made the same mistakes over and over again. That's what they're trying to shift. But yeah, Malik by the end of the year, the defense was actually playing pretty well by the end of the season, and But they still went 5-7, and that's what needs to change. All right, so in addition to that, we're talking NBA playoffs with the Celtics down 0-2. We've got Tom Brady announcing he's skipping the Patriots' White House visit today. He's got family issues he's dealing with, and his mother, if you remember, has been battling a battle with cancer, and so that might be the issue. Some are suggesting that that's where he needs to be, which is right, and it's not a huge deal that he's not going to the Super Bowl or to the White House. He's been there before. He's been a part of that on a bunch of occasions, so no Tom Brady there. Also, the NFL draft is 1 week from tomorrow, and mentioned earlier, I was listening to Chad and Kevin yesterday, and they had our friend Steve Palazzolo on from Pro Football Focus.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, gosh, is he good to talk football. He just, And they were talking about the Cowboys' needs. And he said of their 100, top 100 rankings that they've ranked at Pro Football Focus, 50 of the top 100, half the players, are either edge rushers or secondary players, corners
it's
or safeties.
Great for the Cowboys.
That's half the draft. So this draft is just loaded, meaning into the third, fourth, fifth round, you're going to be able to find productive players at those positions because other positions are going to be taken. If they're that deep, if you're that deep in corner, edge rusher, and safety, that's huge. And what do the Cowboys need most? Corners, safeties, and edge rushers.
They said they were going through the draft. I mean, that was said from the beginning. Stephen Jones says, we're going to get a bunch of guys in this year's draft.
Well, look, when your scouts can tell you, look, guys, you can let a Barry Church walk because we can replace him with a draft pick. You could let a Mo Claiborne go because we can find a guy in this year's draft that's just as good, and we can coach him up and might have a higher ceiling than those guys, and it won't cost us the money that it's going to cost to re-sign a Brandon Carr. So that's all three of those guys leave. You're left with Byron Jones. You're left with
kid coming out
Orlando,
of Philly.
Orlando Scandrick. They signed Nolan Carroll away from Philadelphia. So, you know, this is a draft where in the third round you can draft a starting safety.
That's right.
You absolutely can. Someone that can walk in, that played a lot of college football, and that's what I think the Cowboys are thinking. We can get our pass rusher in the first round. You know, one of the names that that I really like is, who's the kid out of Kansas State? The big Jordan Willis. Jordan Willis. That kid was awesome at Kansas State. And, you know, when K-State played Texas A&M in the bowl game down in Houston, Jordan Willis outshined Myles Garrett. I mean, Jordan Willis was the better pass rusher on the field that night against the Aggies and the better defensive player. Myles Garrett's going to be the number one pick.
Right.
Jordan Willis is a guy that's moving up boards. Love to see the Cowboys look at him. You know, someone like that in the first round, come back, get a safety or a corner in round two, and then whatever you don't take, you take in round three, and then maybe take pass rushers all the way, right? Just load up on pass rushers. They also, Buck, need a right tackle because, remember, Doug Free retired. And unless they feel like Lael Collins or one of the guys they have Chaz Green can slide outside and start a right tackle for them. They've got to figure that out too. But offensive line is the least of
their worries. Yeah, they got to be feeling pretty good about where they sit when it comes to their offensive line, their running backs, and I mean, I still think they've got to find a quarterback. They got to find a backup quarterback.
I'm assuming that's going to be a veteran though, not a rookie. I don't think you want a second year man with a first year guy.
But probably not
unless they're the right guys there. But you know, a veteran who's played football, there'll be guys available that can come in and be your backup quarterback, your emergency. And then they have Kellen Moore still there as an option for that role. But Dak Prescott established as the starter now. So Cowboys are in a good spot. Texans, maybe not. And, you know, Palazzo said it. We've said it a bunch. You know, the weakest positions in this draft are the two most pressing positions for the Texans, and that's quarterback and that's offensive line, you know, tackle, interior guards. They're just not stocked with them this year. So Texans are in a spot where the positions they need the most are going to be hard to find, and you may have to reach to get the one you want. And that's where, if you're the Texans, do you go up? If Pat Mahomes is the quarterback that you zero in on, why wouldn't you go get him? I mean, if you got to go, because I think most people assume at this point, and this all could be smoke a week from the draft, Arizona has the 13th pick. Most believe that Pat Mahomes won't get past Arizona.
No.
That Arizona with
Carson Palmer, they're expecting to let him groom Pat Mahomes the next year.
Bruce Arians, a great quarterback developer, you know, for what he does, looks at Pat Mahomes, says, okay, I got Carson Palmer for at least one more year. Mahomes can come in, play behind him, and we'll have a smooth transition at quarterback. They're 13. So if you're the Texans, you may have to get ahead of that. Buffalo's at 10. They're going to be looking at a quarterback. And you got to always remember a team like New Orleans or someone else could also move up ahead of even higher. I mean, that becomes the issue. If Mahomes becomes the target, because everyone's unsettled on Mitch Trubisky and only 13 complete total starts, the inexperience, Deshaun Watson with the good and the bad, Deshaun Kizer, even his own head coach Brian Kelly saying he's not ready to play in the National Football League. He needs another year. If all that becomes enough, does the team say, you know what, no, Mahomes the guy, and we're in New Orleans and we've got Drew Brees so we can wait on him. We're in Arizona. We've got Carson Palmer. We can wait on him. That's what Houston has to be ready to do, to be aggressive, to go make sure.
They can't be hemming and hawing and thinking about maybe let's talk about this. I mean, if they have to go up even sooner than that, if that's the guy you want for the Houston Texans, there's no excuse why they shouldn't just go up. If he's the guy, if Bill O'Brien says, I love what this kid can do, here's where we'll go to. No, Even go past that if you have to. If he's your guy, you got to get him.
You got to go from 25. So to go up that much will cost you a lot. And that becomes the issue, Buck. The Texans just spent a lot of money and wasted a year on Brock Osweiler because he wasn't the guy. If you do,
you can't
trade
waste
up,
a year on this defense, though. You can't waste another year.
Well, but again, if you're making trades to go up and giving up future, and you know Mahomes isn't going to be your guy this year, you're wasting. You know what I mean? There's no guarantee. And what if it doesn't work out with Mahomes? Then you really have put yourself behind the quarterback eight ball. It's a risky business playing
but
the quarterback.
They keep doing this every year. Their risky business is getting lousy quarterbacks.
But we like Mahomes, but there's no guarantee Mahomes is going to be a great quarterback.
No, it's not guaranteed. Right. I know one thing. I'd be going to the games if some way, somehow, in game four, if that guy would make me want to go to the games. I want to see what he's like. I want to see what kind of energy he brings to that stadium. That stadium has no energy. That used to be the loudest, craziest place.
Oh, no, it still is.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. It's one of the louder stadiums.
No,
in the
it's
league.
A good atmosphere.
Great atmosphere.
Coming from a Cowboys
it's
fan.
Sold out
it's
for 12 years running, and they're loud. But, yes, they want to see a better quarterback. Tom Savage is but even the highest ceiling for Pat Mahomes, even the biggest praisers of Pat Mahomes all agree he's going to have to sit a year.
I'd hate to see him come in and try to start unless somebody got hurt. That'd be it.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. So that's where you're the Texans. You've got this defense, and you're going to be giving up future to go get Mahomes, who's going to sit. I get it, because that's the unfortunate part for the Texans is the positions they need. You know, when they've had the number one pick, there hadn't been a franchise quarterback. I mean, and yes, they've messed up the quarterback position on a number of occasions, as I've documented and told you over and over. But the Texans have had the number one pick on a couple of occasions. David Carr wasn't the number one pick. You know, when Jadeveon Clowney was the quarterback, there wasn't a franchise quarterback in
right.
the mix. There just wasn't. They were thinking about Blake Bortles. Well, Jacksonville took Blake Bortles. How's that worked
Thank
out?
Thank goodness.
So, and that's the unfortunate part. But, well, that's not, I should say that. The year they had the number one pick and took Jadeveon Clowney and had the number one pick in the second round and didn't take Derek Carr was the year that they could have had their franchise quarterback.
Well, maybe you can get by on Savage. Maybe he'll be okay.
Well, you know, that's what they're hoping.
I just don't see that. I'd see you get into the play. This group gets to the playoffs with the worst quarterbacks ever. They still get to the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, that division is improving, and that's the other thing. One of the reasons they won is that division. They get the six games every year.
So you're right. They can't take a chance to get a quarterback that really. They're going to have to have a lot of different positions that they need that number one pick at.
Let's hear another one from Pat Mahomes. He was on with Colin Cowherd yesterday. He's been a topic of conversation because the Texans apparently are smitten with the Texas Tech quarterback. He was asked by Colin Cowherd yesterday, you know, he ran a 4.8 at the combine. So, you know, he admitted, I'm not fast. I'm athletic. But he was asked about his speed and if he's okay taking NFL hits.
Oh, yeah, I'm comfortable. I feel like I have a nice build to me. I took some hits at Tech. I'm hoping I can take a little bit less with a good offensive line and stuff like that. But yeah, I'm comfortable with making throws. I don't feel hitch really. I don't ever really get sore. But at the same time, I mean, I know I'm not fast. I could have told you I wasn't going to run fast from the day I got declared for.
How is a guy that's as athletic as you not fast?
You can tell.
Was
me
your
that.
Dad fast?
No, like I'm not fast. My goal is I'll extend plays. You'll see me running around extending plays, but I'm gonna get it to those fast guys. They're the playmakers. They're the ones that can make the plays happen down the field. That's why I've always thought at quarterback.
Give me a cookie. Give me a cookie, my homies.
You're not down with his voice, man. He's got the gravelly.
It's just a cookie monster.
Okay, so there's Pat
Colin, can you get a cookie? Give me a cookie.
We'll see. He becomes a really interesting figure in next week's first round of the NFL draft. Here's an interesting note on the Aaron Hernandez conversation from Albert Breer, NFL Network. He says, interesting detail here from the at Boston Globe. Hernandez's suicide protects his estate against civil litigation. Ooh.
What are they saying? He offed himself for his daughter's sake?
Well, that if he goes by suicide, then it protects his estate, which is his family and his wife and his daughter. Interesting. This will be investigated, I think, pretty fully at this point. Hey, before we get to the break, look who's been hanging. I don't know what he
can't still be there. There's no way he's
35
there.
35 minutes. We've tried to wait him out, but it's Donnie. What's up, Donnie?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Donnie!
Hey, Bucky, you got to let some disc golfers challenge your mullets at the your mullet open. There's a difference between a mullet and a disc golfer. Your mullet, I can take shark fishing, and Bucky, don't take no pictures with them golfers. I mean, them disc golfers.
Thank you, Donnie.
See, that's what we did.
He didn't come in with anything about the Alamo. If he doesn't say anything about the Alamo, I don't know why he calls.
He waited 35 minutes for that.
He did. There's something legitimate. There's something legit about him being crazy.
Too legit too legit to quit. We'll be back. B&E on the horn. We'll wrap things up, get you off to Matt Southall, who is a disc golf fanatic, plays often. Find out what his handicap is in the realm of disc golf. Matt Southall coming up top of the hour. We'll set up your day as well. It's B&E on the horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
All right, B&E on the horn, final segment on a Wednesday, getting you over the hump of a busy week. I'll be out at ACL Live at the Moody Theater tonight, Buck. Miranda Lambert taping the season 43 of the television show. Tom Gimbel will be in here tomorrow with us, and we'll have a full report from Miranda Lambert tonight down at the Moody Theater. And then cool. She is also the featured attraction on the Mac, Jack, and McConaughey. She'll be on the same stage tomorrow night for the Mac, Jack, and McConaughey show. All the festivities there, the golf tournaments, and all the fundraising begins tomorrow with Mac Brown and Matthew McConaughey, Jack Ingram, and Miranda Lambert will play that show tomorrow night. And then Friday night, it's Jack Ingram and Friends, which is always fun. Kris Kristofferson will be there. It's some of the best songwriters in Nashville and in Austin. I remember the one year we went, and Guy Clark, who passed away this year.
Guy Clark.
He is so awesome. And, you know, all these, I mean, Bruce Robinson will almost always be there. All these great songwriters, and they come out and they sing their hits that they've written, and it really is pretty cool. So that's this week. Miranda Lambert tonight, tomorrow night, and then Jack Ingram and his friends on Friday.
I won't be able to make it with you to tomorrow's event. I checked my schedule, and I'm pretty full.
And tomorrow night, I'm being dragged by our bosses to the Austin Media Awards, of which I'm not going to win any, and neither are you or Brad. But we've got to go to support the radio station, right?
The Show of the People is never nominated. I mean, it's almost like it's an automatic, well...
Bobby Bones.
I mean, you'd win. We'd win every year. It doesn't seem right, but we never get nominated. We've only been doing this together for how long? 17 years?
Since 99.
And we've never been nominated. I mean, You know why? Because we're disruptive to people at times. And they don't like disruptions. They like Bobby, who writes books, and he's got wonderful stories to tell. And they like these...
I think Lunchbox is disruptive from time to time.
Isn't it a women's awards show?
No, but it's for that's the organization called Austin Women in Radio. And
oh, yeah. So I don't know why these women, I don't get it, why these women don't vote for us. I don't understand why they don't give us their support like we give them our support.
I think next year we'll push for that. We are ranked top 100 in sports talk shows in America.
We're past all these people in America. Some of my idols, this show is better than their shows.
So the rankings, say Talkers Top 100's got us.
Right.
Number 90 or something.
BK. Buck, I got a drop that says Bucky's sexist comment of the day, and you're curious why the women aren't going to vote for us?
I just don't get it. I don't
get that for me. Hit that for me.
I don't get it why they don't give us their love. I mean,
Bucky Godbold's sexist comment of the day.
That's
you're
not going to work tomorrow.
With a small brain.
Sponsored by Nobody.
That's right. That'll be tomorrow night. But I'll be there without Buck. That's
tell me
right.
If
you're going to leave
Maggio's
me on my
there.
Own.
Tell me if my love is there, Judy Maggio, because if she's there.
I bet she will be.
I bet she will be there, too.
Come on. I'll be there without you. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Substitute batter, me. I was called out of the bullpen all
of a sudden.
You know
what'll happen all night. I'll be walking around and we do the mingle hour, BK. Hey, where's Bucky? I don't know. He left me hanging.
Come on, it's Watson Lonesome Dove for the second time.
Hey, listen, we've been told that we are only a few followers away from 3,000 on our B&E Twitter account, so go help us out with that. Follow us on Bucky and Aaron. That's always a great way to reach us through social media. Always appreciate those, and but we only need a few more, so get us through that. We also are going to announce our Blue Bonnet picture winner at some point soon. We're trying to decide. We didn't get as many as we needed.
No, we got it out there late. And next year, next year I'm going to put on my Robin outfit.
Yeah.
You know, Batman and Robin. You know, the gear that Robin wore. I think I'm going with that next year in the Blue Bonnet.
So I can be Batman?
Oh, come on now. How good is that?
Okay, I will do it.
Okay.
We'll do Batman and Robin, and you'll wear the little cape and the tights.
The tights. I'll go with the tights
the
of Robin.
Thing.
Oh, yeah, you know I got to wear tights.
Got to do that. Gots to do that. Hey, remember, coming up today, Round Rock Express, 11:35, their first pitch with Omaha in town. This is the dare day, and all the kids and the field trips will be out there learning about doing the right things, and that's going to be today at 11:35. Also, remember that the homestand eight-gamer started last night, and then on Thursday, Chad and Kevin are going to be live out at the Dell Diamond. This is really cool. The Round Rock Express are partnering with Baseball's Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, and they're bringing in the Baseball Hall of Fame tour to the Dell Diamond. It's going to be there for 9 days, from the 20th, which is tomorrow, until the 29th. This is a really, really cool interactive one-of-a-kind baseball and technology experience that you can be a part of when you're going out to the Dell Diamond for this homestand. What I've been told is it takes about an hour, but you go in and it is you get the Hall of Fame tour. It's like going to the Cooperstown without having to go to Cooperstown at some level, and they have the only transportable IMAX theater. It's an immersing fan experience into the past and present and the future of baseball. All of that's going on at the Dell Diamond. Chad and Kevin. And how about this? Chad and Kevin are going to get their own sneak peek tour of this exhibit given by someone from the Pro Baseball Hall of Fame.
How cool is that?
Some like curator. It's like, what?
So that's not a 10-minute, 20-minute deal.
It takes about an hour.
It's great.
What I was told. And Chad and Kevin are, how about that, BK? Chad and Kevin are getting like the head of the thing's going to give them a tour. Where's our invite on that deal?
I was going to say, man, how do you guys keep getting ripped out of this stuff?
Always. It's all right.
Unbelievable.
We're here for each and every morning, though.
Awards or not.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Awards or not, we're here
What's
every
the
morning.
Austin for women in radio and TV and whatever. I mean, they don't listen to sports radio, right? What would they know if we have a great show?
Yeah, how would they know?
They would like Bobby Bones or.
Of course they would. They're too busy at the gym with the spandex on or whatever those outfits are.
That's good. That's good. Continue to insult them. That'll help us for next year.
Okay. Okay.
When we come back, we will have Matt Southall, Horn Local Spotlight, takes over. Colin Cowherd through your middays. Jeff Ketchum in the Orange Bloods Radio, a couple of hours, 1 to 3. Chad and Kevin this afternoon. Have a great Wednesday, everybody. We'll be back full force for a Buck Off Thursday tomorrow. Buck, be good.
All right, man.
And we got to get this disc golf challenge set up. Thank you, BK. Go eat some food. BK came back to eating his normal diet, which is
Absolutely.
A great thing. All right, have a wonderful Thursday. We'll see you tomorrow. It's 104.9. It's AM 1260. Stream it and listen to every hour podcast at our website at hornfm.com.